Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Seth, we got a rarity this morning at 6 o'clock and 25 seconds. It actually happened 11 minutes ago. You and I never get this early in the show. But we got
That's
breaking.
Right. Usually this is reserved for Lopez and in the loop. Yeah, Reginald. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or the afternoon show gets it sometimes. But yeah, you're right.
Usually it happens at like 10:03 Central.
It does. Yeah, the Diggs trade came down at like 9:59. What is it that we're talking about as you sit in your car? Breaking news. And it does impact the Texans in a way. In terms of the future schedule, and it is this. We have a wide receiver trade. It is not Cooper Kupp. We'll get to that. That was the rumored trade yesterday going around, is that the Rams got Cooper Kupp up for sale. It is a familiar face on the move. DeAndre Hopkins. It is happening, Adam Schefter says. It's happening. Titans and Chiefs are working to finalize a trade that would send DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City. League sources tell ESPN in the follow-up tweet, Adam Schefter observes that, and so the unbeaten two-time Super Bowl champs now will get better with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, who will go from playing with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph to playing with Patrick Mahomes. So I guess the first thing, Seth, is forget about any sentimentality with DeAndre Hopkins. Just what is he as a wide receiver at this point, and how does this help the Kansas City Chiefs, who the Texans are right now the 2 seed in the AFC behind the 1 seed, Kansas City Chiefs?
I think the biggest thing with DeAndre Hopkins is that part of his game, which is always going to age well, which is his hands and his ability to win 50-50 balls. He's never been a guy whose game has been predicated on speed, overall speed. So just like Anquan Boldin, who aged really well, I think if you have a good quarterback throwing the ball to you, who can throw with good ball placement, and who also, by the way, is statistically, Pat Mahomes is having his worst performance really ever in the NFL.
Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his touchdown rate is 3.2%, like percentage of the time he's thrown for a touchdown. It's 3.2%. He's, for the season, he's never been lower than 4.5%. And that was last year when they weren't that good in the regular season. So
he just doesn't have that many. Forget about the percentage. Like, he's got like six touchdown passes.
Yeah. And his interception rate is the highest it's ever been. Yep. It's just, He's not playing like one of the better quarterbacks in the league,
it's not
because of any definable or identifiable physical issue with Pat Mahomes. He just doesn't have the weaponry around him. So it makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah. I think it was a matter of just, okay, which wide receiver, once Rashee Rice went down, which wide receiver at some point are the Chiefs going to trade for?
Yeah, the wide receivers have been on the move, as we know. You know, Amari Cooper and Davante Adams both got traded last week. We mentioned Cooper Kupp, according to Diana Rossini of The Athletic. The Rams are open to trading, not just open to trading Cooper Kupp. She made it sound like they're actively shopping Cooper Kupp, trying to get a second-round pick. DeAndre Hopkins on the move. So now the Texans will not face DeAndre Hopkins in either of the two games they still have with the Titans. So those two games got easier, although the Titans are 1-5. Those are inherently easier games than the rest of your schedule. But now the Chiefs, I don't know about this, man. I think I'd rather face DeAndre Hopkins twice with the Titans than face him with the Chiefs.
I'd rather have him and Will Levis going at each other on the sideline because of some idiocy by Will Levis. Yes. That's exactly what I was hoping for. Will Levis or DeAndre Hopkins with the Chiefs is much scarier than DeAndre Hopkins with the Titans.
What is he physically?
It feel like that much more of a slam dunk. That, all right, if you lose those games versus the Titans, who are you really, Texans?
Yeah.
Take care of business, dang it.
Oh, in the division for sure. Take care of business. Starts this weekend, and we'll get to that. Now, I think we need to point out, like, this is not the version of Hopkins that was traded to the Cardinals in 2020.
Right,
like, when he got traded to the Cardinals in 2020, he had been a rock for this football team. Like, he was a lot like Stephon Diggs. Like, he never missed games. Even when he was hurt, he never missed games. Ironically, his last game with the Texans was against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs in a game that reportedly he played the whole second half with a broken rib. So DeAndre Hopkins is tough, but since being traded, And since his last season, really his last couple seasons in Arizona, he's been banged up a lot. He's been suspended for PEDs. Like this,
that's right.
In terms of the fear, like if this was the Chiefs making this trade a month after they just beat the Texans in the postseason in 2020, I'd be like, dang, man, this is a blockbuster. And it would have cost a lot more probably than whatever Kansas City is giving up. I've not seen the terms of the trade yet. Hopkins, it strikes a little bit of fear into me only because now they've got somebody. At least they had nobody. They had Xavier Worthy, the rookie out of Texas, was the weapon in the receiving corps. We know they still have Travis Kelce, who, by the way, is not the same as he was a couple of years ago either. So, yeah, if this was like 2020 and you had Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins with Patrick Mahomes, we'd be like, dang, man. It's an older version of Hopkins now.
Now it's starting to feel a little bit like an NBA team that's trying to hodgepodge together a bunch of older dudes, you know?
Just traded for Russell Westbrook.
That's right, yeah. Like, everybody in Kansas City is going to be like, the way people in L.A. were for Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Remember how much fun it was to watch the L.A. fans slowly realize, like, hey, wait a second.
Wow.
Wait, why is Russell Westbrook like? There are all these articles like, what's wrong with Russell Westbrook? Why is he performing like, are you idiots?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, what? You thought you were getting the Russell Westbrook from 5 years ago?
Yeah, man.
This is who he's been the last few years. So, yes, let's hope we get a lot of articles out of Kansas City 3 weeks from now saying, hey, what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins anyway?
DeAndre Hopkins has got to feel like he just got out of jail. One in five with either Will Levis or Mason Rudolph as your quarterback, and you're going nowhere, and now you're getting traded to go play with Patrick Mahomes, a team that, honestly, a team that even if they're not great in the regular season, which it feels weird to say this, they're the only undefeated team left,
yeah.
And yet it feels like they've got, as you pointed out, especially with Mahomes, a ton of room to improve right now. Man, DeAndre Hopkins has got to he's got to be on cloud nine right now.
Let's hope it ends up being somebody. It's kind of like if you were like in 1941 or so, you were stationed. You're in the army and you're stationed in Alaska or something.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh yeah, you know what? We're gonna send you to Hawaii. And you're like, oh yeah,
yes.
Hawaii. I couldn't be further away from all the danger and trouble in the world. There's no way in hell Japan's ever gonna do anything to me.
And then boom. Yeah. That's where the Mahomeses live, right? They live on Maui. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's hope that DeAndre feels all great about getting restationed up in Kansas City.
My Texans perspective fear factor on this of Hopkins going to the Chiefs is on a scale of 1 to 10 is like a 4. Like I don't like a 5. It's like this is not
Davante Adams.
It's not Davante Adams.
If the Chiefs had gotten Davante Adams or like Brandon Ayuk or something like that, then it really would have been something that raises your eyebrows. This is more. This is an interesting situation to monitor.
To cross sports, this is not the Astros trading for Justin Verlander, you know what I mean? Ironically, Verlander wasn't a great version of himself when the Astros traded for him. I don't think there's going to be a Verlander-like renaissance for Hopkins. I think he's going to be better with the Chiefs than he was with the Titans, only because it's a better ecosystem to play football in. But I don't think the old DeAndre's walking through the door. It got harder to play the Chiefs this morning. But not unbeatable. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The other dynamic is just, okay, how does Andy Reid, you know, figure out a ways to use him creatively and get the absolute best out of him? I think that's probably the best. I mean, yeah, you're 100% right. From DeAndre Hopkins' perspective, there likely wasn't a better scenario for him. Obviously, if he got traded to the Ravens or something, then that's a whole other story. But realistically, you can't ask for much more than this. And Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are going to figure out ways to use him in ways that Tennessee just couldn't.
Yeah.
So that's the danger and the threat there, is the one or two times per game that they figure out a way to really do some damage with him.
It's interesting. In the Cooper Kupp news, we'll get to that again a little bit later. If you're just waking up and just getting in your car, DeAndre Hopkins has been traded from the Titans to the Chiefs. We've not seen what the compensation is yet. If I had to guess, let's play a little guessing game right now. I'm going to guess the Chiefs traded a third-round pick for DeAndre
Hopkins.
I was going
to say a third or a fourth-round pick.
If Davante Adams is going for a third that can become a two,
yeah.
I think Hopkins is, to your point a minute ago, I think Hopkins is a notch below Davante Adams right now.
Isn't it weird? Football's so much, it's crazy how much different football is than baseball. You told me that DeAndre Hopkins had a PED suspension, and it like vaguely, I just vaguely remembered that he had a PED suspension.
Yeah. Like all these baseball, guys, it's a death sentence now.
Just whistle right through a PED suspension. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Meanwhile, baseball's like, can you believe A-Rod even got a job in broadcasting after this? This son of a bee.
Shouldn't be allowed to step up to a microphone. No, it's true. Like with Danico Autry last week, we talked about Danico Autry coming back and we barely talked about what he was coming back from.
Right. I know. No, it wasn't even. And opposing teams don't even bring it up.
Right.
It's not even the. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, in baseball. Oh, my God. Oh, these dirty cheaters. Oh, yeah, you got a cheater on your team. Yeah. The Packers fans weren't even bringing up that Danico Autry is coming back from a PED suspension.
It's coming back. It's just coming back. That's all. Yeah, man. So Hopkins is a Chief. You know who the winners are in this right now? The Los Angeles Rams, if they do want to move Cooper Kupp, because you've got multiple teams that are desperate for receivers. I don't think they're going to trade him to the 49ers because it's in the division. But Tampa Bay needs wide receivers all of a sudden. Evans is going to be out for a month. Godwin broke his leg. They like if Tampa Bay is not calling L.A., then they need to fire their GM.
Sean, I watched the entire game yesterday, the TV version of the entire game.
Which game?
The Bucks game, the Ravens-Bucks. And I can't believe they kept Mike Evans in after that first touchdown. I mean, he got up and he was hobbled.
Yeah.
And he's been dealing with his hamstring issue for a while. It honestly made me feel better about however conservative they might be with Nico right now.
Same thing, yeah.
Because the second time he went down, oh my gosh, like Evans is not... He's not some dramatic punk that's going to make it look weird. Like, he was writhing.
He was
in a way that made it,
He's holding his thigh before he hit the ground.
Yeah.
Like, he was rolling. As he started rolling on the ground, you could see his hand was already on his thigh.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was as bad as it was. And Evans isn't a guy that, I mean, he's been playing through this hamstring issue. It's not like he's soft or anything, obviously. And, that level of writhing for him, it felt really, really bad.
Yep.
So I'm 100% fine if the Texans are being super conservative with Nico, by all means, yes. Because the Bucks they're screwed now, man.
Yep.
Evans as a blocker in that game was huge.
Yep.
In that first half, like they just, the first quarter and a half of that Bucks game, it looked like, the Ravens are done for. They're screwed. They're going to get killed in this game. Yeah.
And then
changed.
The Evans injury changed everything. Baker Mayfield
It was the interception. It was the Evans injury. And then, like, two plays later was the interception.
Back
in the
corner
end zone,
of the end zone to Humphrey. Yeah. It was like, I think it was his next throw.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Man, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's try to move on to the Colts, shall we? We're going to move on to the Colts. And why this Colts game is so big. We're going to lay this out for you. We'll start to dig into the Indianapolis Colts and come here to NRG Stadium on Sunday. We do that next. Stay there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, you couldn't say it any better. All right, huge game for us, division opponent, rival game. We know they're coming in after us, and I love that. you don't want to lose, but I love that our guys are a little ticked off going into this game. Like, man, you got, this game for first place in the division in our house. Like, it means everything. So how we show up, what's our attention to detail? Like, we can't come back in here next Monday and talk about, we have to get this done.
Right.
This is the most important game of our season right now.
Yeah, that was D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show on Monday, and it is. It's a huge game. I thought the week one game, I said this before the season, the most important game of the season was week one, and it wasn't a cliche. Like, the most important game is the next one. Like, empirically, the division games are more important. They're not as sexy as some of the other games on the schedule, but that road win over Indianapolis, in my opinion at the time, was huge because I thought the Colts were the second-best team in the division. It's played out that way. And now, Seth, you can really put a stranglehold on this division by going 2-0 against the Colts with the Jags and the Titans way back in the race right now. Functionally, you can go up three games in the division on Sunday. Two games standings plus the head-to-head.
Yeah. And it's funny because we find ourselves in a weird situation where, kind of like with the Astros, winning the division is nice, but it doesn't make you feel any better about exactly what your chances are in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good
So comparison. When you're in a weak division, and okay, great, we're gonna be AFC South champs. Good, Brian. AFC South champs. There you go. All right, but what are their chances of actually doing something when they get to the playoffs?
Yeah,
that's where I'd like to start to see the Texans if they really turn the corner into delivering on a lot of the promise that they have on this team. You need to start beating up on teams mm-hmm. that are middle of the pack teams. Yep. You're not going to beat up on them every single time. It's the NFL. But at some point, just have an emphatic kick this team in the nargs and show that you can be dominated.
This would be a good one to do that. At home, coming off a disappointing loss, especially if you're doing that, it means you've got the offense going again. Like there's no way to win a game that feels like a kick in the opposing team's nards where you're scoring 17 points, probably.
Right, you right, know? Yeah.
Winning the way you're describing would inherently mean they did a lot of good things. It would inherently mean it probably looked a lot like them scoring 29 points in the opener against this same Colts team.
I think if you go back to the game one where the Texans, on a down-by-down basis, they beat the snot out of the Colts
yes.
in week one. But there were self-inflicted wounds that kept it from being a blowout. So if you just take everything from that first game and let's say it played out the same way, except the Texans didn't have coverage blow-ups or just didn't get beat deep so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like a big if, but a lot of it was mental. And then offensively, not shooting yourself in the foot with penalties, this, that, the other. Then it could feel that's the Texans team that you're hoping to see. I think there's probably some people who right now feel like, boy, I just don't know, man. The way they played against the Vikings and the way it all happened and played out versus the Packers, I'm not so sure about this team. I think the Texans having an emphatic victory over the Colts would make you feel a lot better about
it. Yes, fans have short memories, man.
Me too. I need my memory to be erased.
Yeah.
I need CJ to flash that little amnesia stick
yes.
in my face,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
I need him to come up to the podium afterwards and do the Men in Black amnesia stick. And flash us all, yes.
For Seth Payne.
You'd be like, there you go, Seth. Now you can forget about last week.
For what it's worth, the Texans, according to playoffstatus.com, they are fourth, tied with the Ravens for fourth as best chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Hell yeah.
7%.
Thank you, Vegas and computers.
Does this feel like a team, Seth, that has a 91% chance to make the postseason right now?
Oh, the Texans, yeah, because of the division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's
that's what they are. They're 91%.
Yeah, no, that's where we are. We've reset our expectations to where I think it's funny because, like I told you, somebody last week said, the Texans suck. They only beat average teams. Well, I'm like, all right, well, that's all right. That suck is below average.
Yeah.
So they're somewhere above average and below elite. So they're right there. So that's where you got to redefine your terminology a little bit.
It's like when people go, Bill O'Brien's the worst coach of all time. Like, well, no, I mean, he did win the division a few times.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. No, and he was. It was like he was an average NFL head coach,
yeah.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
You're still among the elite in the country as football coaches go. But still, yes. So, no, the Texans are not an ass team because they can beat average teams.
No.
Ass is below average.
That's
so they're somewhere above average. But they're not elite like you feel like they're capable
they're
of
being. They're the 2 seed in the AFC right now. Like I'll remind you that less than 2 years ago, Lovie Smith was coaching this team and Kyle Allen was starting games at quarterback for this team. They're the 2 seed in the AFC right now. So I understand. Look, maybe for some of you, we've been part of the problem the last few days. Maybe you take your maybe you take your compass gets set to how we feel about the team. I think Seth and I both feel really good about the team. It's just that it was such a glaring blemish on Sunday, the offensive line and how CJ Stroud was chased all over the field, that we've spent the better part of the last couple days talking about. I can't promise it won't come up again because Bobby Slowick doesn't meet with the media till tomorrow. Slowick has his day of reckoning coming as well in all this. You know what I mean?
Slowick needs to just go up there today right after CJ and be like, all right, let's get this out of the way. All right,
done.
Come on, fire away.
I got to focus
on my Thursday practice. Let's do this thing.
It's actually a good idea.
The one thing I keep thinking about with the Bobby Slowick dynamic and his play calling on the last drive there.
Yeah.
And the big thing is, you know, multiple other people outside of Houston have pointed out by now that they've watched the film and everything, it was just a curious strategy of it all that you ran on 2nd and 12, where you're clearly just trying to grind clock there. And then you abandon that strategy on 3rd down and stop the clock with a pass, which is something very foreseeable that even if you had caught, whether it was a catch or not, the clock was going to stop.
Yeah, because of where it was thrown. It was thrown to the sideline.
And you hadn't talked to CJ about what the strategy was at that point.
Right.
If you had been, maybe you would have told CJ, by the way, it's either a 1st down, a touchdown, or you just run the ball yourself or take a sack.
That thing is so weird.
Yeah, it was that's the part where it just reminds me of Dan Quinn in the Super Bowl, where, okay, Dan Quinn, defensive-minded head coach, he's got Kyle Shanahan who can run the offense, but at some point, no, Dan Quinn, you're the head coach.
Yeah.
It's your job to throttle and or instruct the head coach, and you can't let Kyle Shanahan and his evil genius tendencies get the better of him.
Yep.
So, that might have been the moment, the inflection point where D'Amico realizes, all right, I got to be a head coach here.
Yeah.
And there's some things that Bobby's doing where he's trying to dial up plays, he's trying to do this, that, but the overarching broad 35,000 foot view of things, that's got to be the head coach. And I mean, so that's, you can blame Bobby all you want. Ultimately, it's D'Amico that's responsible for that flawed strategy at the end.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, D'Amico been like those parents who'd gone out of town for X amount of consecutive weekends. And like, Bobby's such a good kid. He never parties when we go out of town. He never has a party at the house.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he decides in week 7 to throw a rager at the end of the game. Like, okay, man, you were such a good kid. Now I gotta keep eyes on you the whole time? Oh, man. Mm-hmm. But you do. You're the dad, D'Amico.
And they're buddies, too.
They are buddies, yeah.
This is the hard part. It's like when you get to... when I was elevated to colonel for the first time, and I realized that I had one of my best buds from basic training.
Mm-hmm.
He was problematic as a lieutenant.
It's hard,
and I rolled him right out of that unit. I called him into my office, and I said, this is the way it's going to be. And
strong like that.
And he started crying, and it was hard. So I turned around in my chair. I said, that's enough. You're excused.
That's why you were colonel. You can
or
make
whatever
the hard
verbiage
decisions.
They use. I can't remember. It's been a long time. Yeah.
We have the compensation in the DeAndre Hopkins trade, according to Adam Schefter. If you're just getting in your car, you're like, wait, oh, what? What year is it? There's a DeAndre Hopkins trade? Yes.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins has been traded from Tennessee to Kansas City for a conditional 4th round pick, which is just 2 rounds below the pick that he was traded for back in 2020 by Bill O'Brien. And you got David Johnson in the deal, which ended up being a negative. Good for Tennessee getting almost as much for DeAndre Hopkins as Bill O'Brien got for him back in 2020. Now I'm rehashing this.
Sean, somebody out there right this moment is crafting a tweet justifying the Bill O'Brien trade.
Oh, yeah.
Of DeAndre Hopkins by saying, see, it doesn't look so bad,
later,
does it?
4 years later.
You know everybody crushed Bill O'Brien for trading. No, somebody is out there right now doing it, I
100%.
Promise you.
The internet's a big place. Someone's got to be doing it.
People don't like acknowledging that age matters with NFL football players.
My God.
Because they did it with Clowney, too. It was like they ignore the perception of Clowney at the time when he was traded, and they'll say 3 years later, see?
Yeah.
See?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the 2019 trade. So these wide receiver trades now, man. We'll dig more into the Colts a little later. We got 3 days to dig into the Colts game coming up. We've now seen 3 big wide receiver trades by memory. I can't think of any more that we've had than these 3 in the last week, and they all impact the Texans. I mean, Devontae Adams going to the Jets makes the Jets a harder game next Thursday.
Right. Yeah.
Amari Cooper going to Buffalo impacts the Texans should they meet the Bills in the postseason, which could very well happen. Absolutely could happen. DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City impacts the Texans because it just made the Chiefs game in week 16 a lot harder. Now, it made the 2 Titans games a little bit easier, I suppose, but those are already inherently easier games because the Titans suck. So I guess the question to me is, okay, any of these other, like Cooper Kupp is on the market. Does he wind up on a team that, like, does he wind up on the Ravens somehow? Now all of a sudden the Ravens have Henry. Now, we got to get Lamar some weapons, you know?
I can tell as we reach a fever pitch with the election that's coming up, Sean. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
I've heard about
everything
it.
Is a conspiracy at this point. I've noticed, like, basically everything that comes out is a conspiracy against this candidate or that candidate.
Yeah.
This feels a little bit like a conspiracy against the Texans.
Thank you, Seth.
This is a man trying to hold us down.
Yeah.
Yes, this is exactly what's going on. That Goodell got around and said, no, the Texans need to wait a little bit. We're gonna start shuffling off receivers to their upcoming opponents.
Yep. Yes. Got to hold us down, man. We can't have these Texans.
They're like, is Lassiter still hurt? Okay, good. Then they're really screwed.
Can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show as a once great Jags lady.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a
show. What Goodell was saying in the meeting, in the conspiracy meeting about the Texans. So the question is, what is the Texans' counterpunch in all this if they're going to make trades? Because I don't think they're going to trade for a wide receiver, obviously, but the Texans, you know, I think even independent of these trades, they probably had some tweaking they need to do here at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, we've talked about, well, it's hard to have a plug-and-play offensive lineman, and yet it's not that hard, especially because the Texans do things that are very similar to a lot of other former Kubiak Shanahan teams and systems. So they might come in and the verbiage will be a little bit different, but you could plug a guard in, as we were talking about. Like Joe Batonio, we talked about the other day. He could come in and play. He'd be better than Kenyon Green now.
How impactful is that, potentially?
I think, well, boy, part of the big... As D'Amico said the other day, and it's true, Their issues, yes, Kenyon Green is an issue, but the communication stuff, and that extends back to running backs and pass protection, these guys just not being on the same page, a lot of that is just not going to be fixed by swapping out the personnel.
That's right.
You know, Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil have been average offensive tackles, I think. There's that dynamic that, like, okay, yeah, they're good enough and they're fine enough. They're certainly not worth what you're paying them at this point. And
but that's who you dance with. You know, dance with the
yeah. So as far as making the team right now, a lot of it just comes back to the whole entire operation: Bobby Slowick, Chris Strausser, all the assistant coaches, and how sloppy, just how I'll say slipshod it is right now. So that's not as much of a difference. I think on defense, a plug and play. Cornerback specifically.
Yeah.
I know everybody wants safeties because Jimmy Ward gets injured all the time. Look, D'Angelo Ross is out there, okay, versus the Green Bay Packers.
That's not acceptable.
You want D'Angelo Ross out there versus Davante Adams or whomever else. They need more defensive backs, even whether Kamari Lassiter is healthy or not.
Oh, yeah.
Because you also have guys that you're going to come up against better wide receiving cores where there's times where you don't want Jalen Petrie playing man in the slot.
Yeah.
You want an actual cornerback.
Right. And then you can have Petrie back there with Kalen Bullock playing safety because you have a real actual cornerback playing slot corner on passing downs.
Yeah, I think in terms of the most achievable thing is to get a competent cornerback and make your defense that much better.
Yeah.
Make them just like a bona fide elite defense, especially with the pass rush working. That's probably the most likely thing still. I demanded to Nick Caserio that he trade for a cornerback, defensive back.
Yeah.
And he didn't say if we turn the pick, and he said when we turn the pick.
Oh, yeah.
When we turn the transaction, and we will credit Seth Payne.
Yeah, no, he seemed very intimidated and ready to go make that trade in the moment right there.
Yes.
By you.
He said when.
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 When. Yep.
Yes. I'm not going to say he was intimidated because I don't want to screw up his psychology on this.
Oh, that's true.
I don't want him all of a sudden be like, well, if he's going to
forced into this.
Now, it sounded to me more like, it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to trade for a cornerback.
That's true. It did sound like that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to headlines. A lot of headlines, man. A lot of headlines from the NBA. Rockets get started tonight. Big headline right now, and we'll dig into it in the next segment throughout the show. DeAndre Hopkins on his way to Kansas City in a trade for a day 3 pick. We will get to that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. The big headlines going on around the NFL this morning. DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Kansas City Chiefs for a conditional fourth round pick. So this is the third big name wide receiver. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is not a top wide receiver anymore, but he's still a very good wide receiver. So in the last week, Seth, we've seen Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, and DeAndre Hopkins all get moved to teams that are either on the Texans' schedule in the future in the regular season, or with Cooper, potentially you could see the Bills in the play. I think the way the playoffs line up right now, the Texans might be right on track to play the Bills like in the second round of the postseason, something like that. So there's a lot of wide receiver movement going on, and it's all impacting the AFC right now. Hopkins,
there's and wide receivers in general are the most. It feels like they're the most often traded position group. I was just going over the players that have been traded the most in NFL history, and Brandon Cooks obviously is tied with the lead for Eric Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss was traded twice or three times.
I don't know. Yeah,
Brandon Marshall. Now Stephon Diggs has been traded twice. DeAndre Hopkins has been traded twice.
Yeah.
Wide receiver trades are becoming more and more common. So, yeah, I think the hot stove league in the NFL is going to be very – it already is very wide receiver-centric.
Yep, no doubt about it. And maybe Cooper Kupp could be the next one, the Rams. According to Diana Rossini, The Athletic, reportedly the Rams open to trading Cooper Kupp. We'll talk about this later in the show, but you can start to see now the teams that with I think it's 2 weeks from yesterday is the trade deadline, November the 5th. If I have that right, that's 2 weeks from yesterday. You can start to see the teams that are, just metaphorically walking out to their driveway and putting all their things out there for a tag sale. You know what I mean?
Like
putting the signs in the front yard, the signs like tag sale next 2 weeks. You know, the Rams, the Titans. Obviously the Browns trading Amari Cooper, the Raiders trading Devontae Adams. Like if you're a Texan fan and you want to find something to do this afternoon to avoid work, go sift through the rosters of those teams and see what you can find at cornerback or safety or things like that.
For the teams that are definite sellers, I saw a whole lot of defensive linemen that is potentially guys like Jadeveon Clowney, et cetera, for the Panthers, which I don't think that's necessarily what the Texans need to be looking for right now. The one I was surprised, there was an article in The Athletic that listed the Texans as sellers at the deadline.
I was shocked. I saw that in the show I saw that during the show yesterday, and I didn't even want to bring it up. Because I thought it would have blown both of our minds if we brought it up in the middle of the show.
I was like, what the hell are they talking about? Sellers, they meant specifically
at
the wide receiver position. Yeah, which would make sense, except that, yes, they've got a lot of wide receivers. But, yeah, but we've also seen that they're banged up at wide receiver right this moment.
There's part of me that's like, okay, you were trotting Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie out there for significant snaps against Green Bay. Why not a fourth for DeAndre Hopkins? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know there's probably a lot. There's probably a lot of reasons why not. Maybe I would guess. I don't know. But so Hopkins on his way to Kansas City. So that's the big news in the NFL this morning. As far as Texans news goes, they're back at practice today, getting ready for the Colts. We'll see what the injury report looks like, particularly on the defensive side of the football. Do they get any guys back this week? Henry Toa, Azeez Al-Shaair. I was okay with how the linebackers played against Green Bay, so I don't feel quite the sense of urgency, but it sure would be great to get those guys back. The only news with the Texans, they signed Jawar Jordan, their sixth-round pick. They drafted him in the sixth round in this past draft and let him go. At the end of training camp, they signed him back to the practice squad yesterday.
Well, and they also released Rashad Weaver.
Yes.
So that takes a guy off the practice squad, which maybe you're wondering, okay, is that going to be Okuda? Is it going to be Kamari Lassiter? Somebody. So Jeff Okuda is eligible to come back this week. So there's going to be a corresponding roster move at some point.
Yeah. So they're at 52 right now, it looks like. So we'll see what's happening. Hopefully it's somewhere that has a big impact on the game against the Colts. Hey, the Rockets open tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. The NBA opened their season last night. The Celtics get a big win over the Knicks, and the Lakers get a win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Rockets get going tonight against the Charlotte Hornets, just a couple days after signing Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green to big contract extensions. The big story last night, Seth, was that LeBron James and Bronny, his son, finally took the court in a regular season game at the same time.
Oh, so what every sports fan has been hoping and dreaming for. Feels like everything's right in the universe. Mm-hmm. That finally a kid who grew up a hard scrabble existence and fought his way into the NBA draft. And they're What did he do? Did he finish? Did he finish with like 38 points?
No, no, no. 2.5 minutes, and as I was watching, he touched the ball like a couple of times.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, I was conflicted in both in watching this and in watching the build up to it, which was at times felt intrusive. I'm like, I got it. They're going to play together at some point. Like it was,
yeah, yeah.
The lead up to this was so big, and I understand it. LeBron James is one of the biggest stars in the sports world or in any realm. On the one hand, as I'm watching it last night and I'm watching the two of them come into the game, I'm like, man, this is it really is incredible that someone at LeBron's age is able to play, still be in the NBA.
Right.
To play a game with his son and still play at the level LeBron does. Like it did, and we already knew that about LeBron, that he's just a physical freak. But this was one more way to accentuate it, that he's trotting onto the court with his, 20-year-old son, something like that. And that was, so that part was, that part I was very impressed by. I'm still the whole thing, like it just, I don't know, man. There's just something about the whole thing that feels very fantasy camp to me.
Oh, right, yeah, it happened. Okay, and it's amazing that a guy played with his son in the NFL or in the NBA at the same time, but it's not the same as like Gordy. It would feel actually better in a weird way, like when Gordie Howe gets rolled out there in his 50s, and it's just clearly okay because of what he's accomplished. Whereas meanwhile, you've got if Bronny were a bona fide NBA second round prospect that had actually just come to the team differently or whatever, then it feels artificial.
Oh, it's totally contrived. Contrived. Yeah.
So there's a lot of older great players that if they maneuvered their son onto a team that they shouldn't be on, could have played with this has nothing to do with Bronny. It's more about the fact that LeBron is able to play at his age.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's it.
And then he engineered his son onto the team.
Which I hate. And then yet I think like, okay, it's cool. Father and a son doing something together. Like, yeah, that's what I say. I'm very conflicted on this. The Astros have a new third base coach. His name is Tony Parachica. He was in Arizona for the last several years. He's the new third base coach. So if you're looking, the third base coach is one of those jobs in sports that you're either invisible or you're hated. So that's, if you're getting ready to hate somebody for waving runners aggressively home, that's your guy now.
I don't know, though, because people pretty much wholeheartedly, once the Astros started winning with the strategy, Gary Pettis went from everybody's favorite, punching bag to like, oh, yep, that's what the Astros do. They're aggressive. They're going to send guys home.
Let me rephrase then. The disproportionate hate for a third base coach versus the tolerance for a third base coach.
Yeah, no, definitely you get the full 100% hindsight.
Yes,
treatment. Is that even if it's obviously the best move to send somebody home, if somebody makes an incredible throw, then yes, he's going to get lambasted.
He'll get killed. Sad news in baseball last night. Fernando Valenzuela passed away at the age of 63. If you're in your 50s, I would say like mid 50s and up, then you remember Fernando Mania in 1981 when he came up as a rookie from Mexico and took the baseball world by storm, won Rookie of the Year and Cy Young during the strike season in 1981. His career never really took off from there. He kind of leveled off. He pitched for a long, long time, but he peaked early on in his career.
Yeah.
There was... Say what you will about Shohei Ohtani, and I'm not comparing the two as players. Shohei Ohtani's on another planet as far as a player from Fernando Valenzuela. I would put Fernando Mania up against any sort of tour de force in baseball in my baseball watching lifetime.
Oh, no, 100% because of just the times in which it happened.
Right.
That was when, baseball was much huger. It was still America's pastime.
Yes.
And the coverage of it on the networks was Fernando Valenzuela. I was only 6 years old, but I even knew who Fernando Valenzuela was just because I remember thinking that the Blondie song was about Fernando Valenzuela.
Which Blondie song?
Fernando.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have Blondie's greatest hits on my. I know
Fernando.
I know Heart of Glass, and I know the song that was in American Gigolo and what Call Me. I know that one, but
Fernando.
Yeah,
that was the one that I thought was about Fernando Valenzuela.
I gotta go listen to it now and see if we can kind of.
No, but it definitely 100%. Like I bet a larger percentage of people back then could identify Fernando Valenzuela than could identify Shohei Ohtani
right
now.
Yes.
Even though, Shohei Ohtani is a much better player. but yes.
Fernando was like Time Magazine. You know what I mean? Like, it was like it crossed over big time.
What's a magazine?
Exactly.
What the hell are you talking about?
Right, exactly. Thank you. All right.
Are those catalogs they have sitting in the dentist's office? Is that a magazine?
That is a magazine, okay. Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's head into the 7 o'clock hour here. D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show on the was there a play on that final drive after the 2-minute warning that could have basically ended the game instead of putting the Texans in the situation that they're in? D'Amico Ryans seems to think so. We'll get into that and a whole lot more here in the 7 o'clock hour. Again, the big news this morning, DeAndre Hopkins on his way to the Chiefs. We'll get you up to speed on that as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.